Let us pray together. Thank you, our sweet Jesus, for knowing without word, beyond measure. It's not a concept, it's just reality. We are yours, and you are ours. We are your body. Of course, you would say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For being adopted by the Father, you would have to deny yourself to leave or forsake us. And of course, that is not possible. So may we rest in the authority of the one who has called us to this, entered with us in this boat that we call life, riding through every storm. Strengthen us, we pray, by your word. In Christ's name, amen. If you look in Mark 4, in that passage of Scripture, yea, all of the Scriptures today, they all speak of the same theme. It reminds me in this passage of someone that my mother liked. I would almost say loves. In fact, I'd almost say if you ever need to contact my mother between 4 and 6 p.m., good luck, because court is in session and she is watching some, I can't go as far as lady, a woman named Judge Judy. Well, but I must say that I've almost become a Judge Judy convert. When I first saw her, I thought, oh, no, I don't need another controlling, mean-spirited woman in my life. I'm glad I can just turn, I was talking about Judge Judy, you know, get that look, I can turn it off. But I've grown to see that she is controlling, and she is demanding, but she's absolutely right. See, that courtroom is hers. Those that understand that, those that give the due homage, seem to fare fairly well. But it is her courtroom. She's right. That courtroom is owned by Judge Judy. She has the authority. You can argue with the umpire. I've seen many managers, I've seen a few fans argue with an umpire. And I don't know if I've ever seen an umpire reverse his decision. There's some truth in that old saying that it ain't a ball and it ain't a strike until I say so. It's true that an umpire has the authority to do that. And this morning, brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, whether you argue or not, whether you find it comfortable or not, the truth of the text this morning, the truth of this gospel passage, and the truth of life is that Jesus Christ is the controller, the fully authoritative one in life. The one, we're told in the end of Matthew's gospel, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to. The one who created you, the one who crafted you, the one who called you, is totally, absolutely authoritative. Our parable this morning illustrates this in the Gospel of Mark, where he's taking a boat ride with his disciples. If you've ever been on the Sea of Galilee, it's called a sea. It's actually a lake, but a very large lake and a very tumultuous lake. Even the one time I was there many years ago, even on the short trip across the lake, we could see a storm brewing. They come up very quickly. They can capsize your boat when just a few moments ago you thought everything was smooth sailing. Sounds like life, doesn't it? Sounds like life to be going along enjoying a nice boat ride, and within seconds, it seems like you're holding on for dear life. But not Jesus. If you'll read with me again, beginning in verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Sounds like life, doesn't it? Sounds like life. Doesn't it seem like when all hell breaks loose, God may be there, but if we're honest, maybe the shepherd has fallen asleep. Maybe he's occupied with somebody else's problem. Maybe he's listening to other people's prayers and mine just seemed to bounce off the ceiling. I know he would fix my situation, but he's probably tied up working on someone else that got to him before I did. Somehow, I'm in this storm, and it's raging all around me, and he's not worried at all. Yay, he's sleeping. He's sleeping. They wake him. And they said to him, "Teacher," verse 38, "will you stop the storm?" That's not what they said. They didn't know that he had that type of authority. They're not upset that he's not stopping the storm. They're upset that he doesn't care. Sounds like life, doesn't it? You ever find you in a situation where you're more upset about something and it's like you can't buy someone to be as upset as you are about it? Or maybe the reverse is true. Maybe someone in your life is upset about something and nothing is more upsetting to them than you really aren't. See, they weren't looking for a fix to their problem. They were looking for someone to wring their hands along with them, to be as upset as they were. Misery loves company. And while they didn't envision that Jesus could fix the problem, at least he could have the common decency to cry with those who cry and worry with those that worry and stay awake in the midst of my storm. And they wake him up. He does that which they couldn't imagine. In verse 39, he woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And as we shouldn't be surprised, the wind ceased, and there was not only a calm, there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now they had been fearful of the storm. Now they get really fearful. They were just fearful that they were going to be overwhelmed by waves. Now they are utterly afraid because in their midst is one who has more authority than they can imagine. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's his courtroom. He calls the pitches. He determines. He is the absolute authority. So let's look at this three things with this. Somebody asked me, how can you always have 3 points? It's a historic, maybe it's habit, but it's probably more, I'd like to think, a historic preaching understanding that there are 3 parts of the Trinity. There are 3 parts of us, body, soul, and spirit. So 3 points are as good as others. Aren't you glad I don't have 10 points? Let's look at 3. The Word of God speaks. We see Jesus speaking several times here. He speaks when he wakes up. He speaks at the end. But the most important thing he speaks to them is what he speaks at the beginning. What he speaks at the beginning should have alleviated any of their fears. He said in verse 35, the first thing he said, even though it seems casual, it's the word of God. Let's go across to the other side. He's authoritative. If he says, let's go across to the other side, you are going to go across to the other side. He didn't say, let's go halfway and sink. He didn't say, let's go and who knows. If the gods are happy, if it falls out our way, maybe we'll make it. He says, let's go to the other side. Brothers and sisters, Jesus never wastes words. Jesus never flatters. Jesus doesn't speak with good intentions. He is the Word of God, and when He speaks, as we heard the Word of God through Dave in Job 38, when God speaks, it's so. When He says, you're going to the other side, there was no need to fear. You're going to the other side. When He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, there's no need to fear, because He says, when He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, He says, and it sticks, we're going to the other side. Now, we can be like Jonah. The Word of God came to Jonah. And Jonah knew that God could do what He wanted to do. The problem is, Jonah didn't want God to save these Ninevites. You want God to save everybody, don't you? Well, sure. Except my neighbor. It's tough enough having to live with them for 22 years. Do I really want to live with that old boy for eternity? Now, I love the world, but that one guy just... And there was this group of people. A group of people that had long-standing ethnic hatred toward one another. And Jonah shows his great faith in not wanting to go to Nineveh because he knew there was a possibility that if they believed, God would avert. And he didn't want that. So he ran from the Word of God. And we can ignore his call. We can resist His call. We can run. But like that song says, we can run, but we cannot hide. For His Word speaks. And when He speaks with authority. And we can take comfort over that. He has authority over us. He has authority over nature. I heard a preacher this past week preaching a sermon. When he said something, it was like a mule kick in my gut. It just was so wrong on so many levels. And he was talking about how basically you shouldn't blame God for your problems. And he said that when you're going through a tough time, you just need to know God's not responsible. And I first thought, wait a minute. If God's not the one who is responsible, which means able to respond, who is? Is the whole thing just a chaotic blur? Just an eternal crapshoot? And I don't know what's going to happen? Or even worse, is the whole thing dependent upon me? Am I the one that if it's going to get fixed, if the waters are going to be stilled, if we get to the other side, am I the one that's going to do it? Praise be unto God when the Word of God speaks, it's authoritative. When He says you're going to the other side, He is responsible. He's able to do that. As Paul tells Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I am beyond any doubt persuaded that He is absolutely responsible to keep that. Can He keep it in calm weather? Sure He can. Can He keep it in storms? Sure He can. Does it matter if the weather's nice or the weather is tumultuous? We like nice weather. But it doesn't matter. Because the weather is not authoritative in our life. Circumstances are not authoritative in life. You don't need to keep that boss or anyone else happy because they're not authoritative in your life. The Word of God speaks. If the Word of God says you're going to the other side, hold on. Put your landing shoes on because you're going to make it to the other side. But we can't be naive. So the second part we see here is the Word of God speaks, but the winds of life blow. And they blow hard. And we see here it was a great windstorm. It was so incredibly tumultuous that the beams in the ship were shaking. The storms of life hit us all. Trials are indiscriminate. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that you're going to have storms. Some people will be okay because they built on rock. Some won't fare well at all because they built on sand. So there's different foundations we can be established on, but the common ground are that the storms come. Terrible things happen to good people, don't they? Terrible things happen to bad people. Christians have terrible things that happen. Non-Christians have terrible things that happen. Storms blow. We live since the garden in a world that's absolutely off kilter because of sin. Because of the entrance of sin into this world, Paul would say in Romans 8 that the whole creation groans. Storms happen. But we need to do what Abraham Lincoln did. Now, if you read about Abraham Lincoln, we sort of like Abraham Lincoln. You know, there's a monument to him, and we've got people that dress up like him. And, you know, we look back and we look upon him fondly, but if you go back and look during his lifetime, not many people liked Abraham Lincoln. The Democrats didn't like him at all. The Republicans didn't really care for him. The North didn't really trust that he had the ability to preserve the Union. The South, well, you know how the South thought about Mr. Lincoln and his war. And on top of it all, his wife just absolutely despised him. But Lincoln, in one of his journal entries, said that I can't fix all of this. But he spoke of a happy relaxation. Let me tell you, in the midst of how the winds blew in Abraham Lincoln's life, where he found his happy relaxation, this is what he wrote. I have not controlled events in my life. I cannot control any event in my life. I would rather have to say, in all honesty, that the events have controlled me. But it doesn't matter. I have met them all in faith. See, he understood it didn't matter. Because he's not the responsible one. It didn't matter. He wasn't the authoritative one. He met them all, good and bad. Sweet weather and stormy weather. Friend and foe with faith. Not faith in them, but faith behind them, knowing that he had heard the Word of God speak. And that leads to the final point I'd like to make, is that the Word of God speaks, winds of life blow and blow hard, but the gospel is the peace of Christ remains. See, Jesus was always in the boat. Whether they were aware of it or not, Jesus was in the boat. In the storm, Jesus was in the boat. In the calm weather, Jesus was in the boat. When they were praising him, Jesus was in the boat. When they were angry at him, Jesus was in the boat. I've never been to one, of course. I wouldn't have gone to one, of course. But I've seen enough movies to know all these, I don't know what word I would use, all these desirous to see him and get a sweaty handkerchief from around his neck girls at Elvis Presley concerts would hang around just hoping to catch a scent of the king as his sweaty body would come by and he'd throw one of those silk handkerchiefs. And I've seen in movies that to let them disperse, that sometimes they would have to make that announcement, much to their chagrin, Elvis had left the building. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what your boat's going through. I don't know at all what your boat's going through, but I can tell you this, you will never hear Jesus has left the boat. He's there. He's here. He's within. And while the storms are the same, the inner calm is different. I told John I was going to do a little object lesson, but I learned yesterday, or you learned yesterday, what I do. Administration and organization is not my spiritual gift, so I forgot to bring it. So but you got good imaginative abilities. Envision I'm holding a half-filled 20-ounce bottle of water. And envision I'm holding a half-filled 20-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola. And I vigorously shake both of them. Would anybody be fearful to come up and undo the top of the one holding water? Would anyone want to come up and uncap the one filled with Coke? Of course not. Is it the shaking that leads to the eruption? No. It's what's inside. Because I could shake the water twice as vigorously, couldn't I? But it wouldn't erupt. And brothers and sisters, while that's a homely illustration, it speaks to our lives. Do the storms make you erupt? No. Because other people have gone through storms worse than that and not erupted. It's not the storm on the outside that leads to the collapse or the eruption or the destruction. It's what is on the inside. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. That gives us great freedom. Understanding that, we focus on what's within. And guess what we can let go? Trying to calm the water around us. Since we know that the well-being of our boat ride is based on what's within, we don't have to worry about somebody raging around us, right? We don't have to try to keep the water still, keep all the numbers in place. We don't have to worry about that. Because we have Christ within. We know that even if the outer man decays, the inner man is built up. Christ worth in the boat is worth more than smooth sailings. See, it really doesn't matter that a boat goes through a storm, does it? A boat can be in a storm, right? That's not the problem. The problem is, and this is what they were fearful of, is not when the boat is in the storm, but when the storm starts to get into the boat. That's when the problem happens. And the storm can only get into the boat when we forget that Jesus Christ is there and His presence remains. So our focus is not on the wind and the rain. Our focus is not on the storms. Our focus is not on numbers that turn bad, profits that seem to wane, bosses that are crazy, customers and clients and co-workers that seem to just exist to make your life difficult. If you're focusing on that, you're forgetting that the real treasure is Christ in the boat. This is why daily prayer is so important. Daily devotions, to remind ourselves. John says this, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the only authority, the Son of God. Let me close with words of a great Danish pastor. His name was Soren Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard wrote books that had titles like Fear and Trembling. He was no stranger to the difficulties and the storms and the adversity of life. So here's what he says is the key to being peaceful in the midst of a storm. And I quote from this Danish pastor. Become nothing before God. Learn to keep silent. In this silence is the beginning, which is first to seek God's kingdom. With experience, we learn that pain and trouble are part of life. Most of us have fought against everyday realities as if they were our personal enemies. We accepted every challenge thinking we had to be the winner every time. We approached every difficult thinking that we were responsible for our well-being. Today we may feel broken by the loss of a love, by a disappointing job experience, or by our powerlessness over a loved one. In that brokenness, in our brokenness, we try to find our true humanity. It's the beginning of our spiritual awakening. As men and women, have thought that surrender was a word for losers and weaklings, we are learning in Christ that surrender to Him, is our only power. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His excellent face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. The light of His glory.
Just as if they wanted to let me know you were gone. See that the plans I made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. Just can't remember who to send it to. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. Just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. And I won't make it any other way. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days I thought would never end. But I always thought that I'd see you again. In walking my mind to an easy time. My back turned toward the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it can turn your head around. With as hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines and pieces on the ground. I've seen rain, I've seen sunny days I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. Oh, but I always thought that I'd see you again. Thought I'd see you one more time again. Good things be coming my way around town. Thought I'd see you one more time again. Oh, I always thought that I'd see you again.
Of enemies, a table will be prepared, the light will be left on, and he will meet us at this table.
So join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Give our thanks and our thanks and praise.
It is our joy to praise and thank you, Lord God, because you called your chosen people to be a wily David in the face of the Goliath of the nations. You equipped them with smooth tongues of wisdom and faithfulness. Even when your children forgot your will and sought to become Goliath, you recalled them to their true identity and raised up among them a son of David to face the Goliath of sin and death with your word of truth alone. And still today, you call your church away from the threats and temptations of being Goliath to the risk and wonder of being remade, to be like David in the image of Jesus. And so with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we join the unending song of your glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Faithful God, in Christ you speak to us amid the storm of our fear and dwell with us when our faith is weak. You are with us, even when we lament our peril and doubt our destiny. Come upon your church today in the power of your Spirit, that your people may be reborn as children of hope and courage and endurance. Send that same Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that we may find in them the joy of your presence, and they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Sustaining God, inspire all whom you call to serve you to realize that now is the day of salvation. Infuse your church with purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, and genuine love. When your disciples face afflictions, hardships, calamities, imprisonments, and hunger, make them possessors of all things in you, until that day when dishonor and distrust and death are no more, and your Spirit fills your creation with the glory of your risen Son, eternal Father, forever and ever.
Amen.